Good morning, everybody. Just first off, the most important thing that you'll hear me say the entire shiur, which is none of this is intended halacha l'maisa. I'm trying to give you a bit of background on the various possibilities of isurim involved in potentially cutting toilet paper on Shabbos in some way, shape, or form. I figured a good way to lead into this would be the following. We have here in source number one, a very beautiful advertisement. I'm sure many of you are aware of kosher innovations. They've made many products relating to Shabbos and other areas of halacha and Jewish life to attempt to make things easier and more halachically appropriate. So in this ad, they advertise for their new Shabbos bathroom tissue. I don't know actually when they produced this, but I was able to find it on Amazon. So you can see the wonderful things they advertise there. No need to pre-tear toilet paper, no perforations, no tearing, will not clog toilets like some facial tissue, no awkward reaching for tissue on back of tank, hangs from any toilet roll holder, why waste money on expensive facial tissue? In case you're interested in this, I did see it doesn't appear to be available on Amazon.ca, but if you wish to purchase it on Amazon.com, it's only $25 US plus shipping, and that's for a pack of 8 of those things. Each one contains, I think it was 120 pieces per pack, and it hangs, as you can see, on the toilet paper roll holder.
Someone just ripped up toilet paper and then put it in a tissue box?
It's close to that, but yeah.
And engineer the box.
Yes.
Don't knock it.
Okay, so anyways, the question is, how necessary would something like this be? What is the isser behind tearing toilet paper on Shabbos, if there is any? And you know, to take a look at some of the background of that, when, and then there will be obviously some halacha nafkaminas, when it would be appropriate or not. The first thing, just to get out of the way first, I did it for the last year, I did it last, but really for this year I should do it first, is there are various places in Shulchan Aruch which talk about being matir yisurim derabanan for the case of kavod habrios. Okay, in the event that if someone is in a bathroom and they don't wipe, poskim generally assume it to be kavod habrios, to be able to clean oneself. Therefore, if you're going to be dealing with an isur derabanan, it's pretty much a slam dunk that you would be allowed to be over an Issur D'Rabbanan in order to, you know, be able to steer clear of any awkward situations in which you would, which would contravene Kavod HaBrios. That being said, obviously, if there are better ways to do it which do not involve contravening D'Rabbanans, that's certainly, you know, a better idea. But that's just something to lay out in advance. If we have the time, we'll discuss one element of that a little bit more in depth. But not the entire thing. The sugya of kavod habrios could be shiurim for the next 5 weeks in contemporary halacha, and that would only scratch the surface. So I am just letting you know about that up front. So I figured I would talk about three particular malachos which this might contravene, and to see within each one some of the basics of that malacha as to how this action may or may not be a problem within that malacha. So I will ask you guys, as usual, to help me out, read a little bit. I find that they're usually the most fun like that. Does anybody want to read the Tiferes Yisrael's definition of the malacha of mechatech? Okay, so in the Mishnah, which lists all the 39 malachos, there are, you know, various mefarshim that explain many of the different malachos. Sometimes, you know, you see stuff from Rashi. Tiferes Yisrael is actually interesting because he has, I believe it's his work that he published on some of the 39 malachos, and I believe Mishra Brewer likes to quote him within Hilchos Shabbos. So anyways, I just thought we'd take a look at his definition of the halacha of mechatech. Mechatech comes up in which order, by the way? Which order of the 39 malachos? In what context does it come up in the 39 malachos? Anybody know?
Making clothes.
Close to it, not quite. Skin, right? After your mafshit the or from the tzvi that you were tzad, because that's what's going on there. Then it talks about v'hamechatcho. Okay, so anybody want to read the Tiferes Yisrael, please?
Sure.
Go ahead.
Kara or oniar kifia tarchlo v'tash misho.
So how would you translate that?
Luckily, did it for me. One who cuts it, cutting or tearing hide or paper as one requires for their use.
Okay, but, so that.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, you were gonna say.
Tash misho is what, like.
For some use, we don't know what the use is. It doesn't say specifically for going to the bathroom, but based on this definition, mechatech sounds like exactly what you're doing when you're cutting toilet paper. Like, literally, I don't know if I could come up with words that would better describe a malacha than that, right? That's really what it sounds like, and it sounds like what you're doing is you're literally cutting or tearing paper as you require for your use. that's what cutting toilet paper is. And if that's the case, this is really going to be a strong havamin as to a malacha deoraisa that you would be over simply by pulling toilet paper off the roll. You would be cutting or tearing paper as one requires for their use. So the question is this the, first of all, accepted definition of the malacha? And are there any other details of this malacha that bear relevance to the case that we are talking about, namely tearing toilet paper? So for that, we have to take a look at a Gemara and Rashi, a Rambam, and how they define this malacha based on the way the Gemara gives cases of it. Can anybody read source number 3, source number 4? Any volunteers? Bechavot.
Amar Papa Haiman Defarim Silkam, someone who crushes up beets, Chayav Mishum Tochin, you're liable because you grinded stuff up. Amar Rav Nasha Haiman Desala Silti, Chayav Mishum Tochin, and someone who chops wood chips for sawdust, you're also chayiv because of grinding. Amar Ravashi, ikbid amishchasa, chayiv mishum mechaseich. If you're particular about chopping for the measurement, you mean you're doing it for the, because you want to know exactly.
Meaning, if you're cutting it into very particular pieces, you want them to be an inch by an inch, then chayiv mishum mechaseich. Okay, so he says ikbid amishachta, and if you want to see how Rashi explains that, to be kapid amishachta.
To cut them by measure, you cut the skin to a specific measurement. So if I don't care what the measurement is, then I'm pater.
That seems to be the implication of Rashi. Okay, meaning Rashi is saying this based on the Gemara. It's only ikbid amishachta. It's only if you're machbit on the exact space. And says Rashi, why is that mechatech then? Because mechatech is specifically cutting hide to a particular measurement. Meaning Rashi is saying this is the mahos of the malacha. This is exactly what you're being over here, is if only if you're cutting to a particular size. So too, if you look in the Rambam is particularly strong language. Someone wants to read the first sentence or two. Okay, so far let's translate that.
So someone who cuts from the skin to make kmeh,
which is an amulet,
is a chayev, and that's when he had an intent to its width and its length, and it was kavanah that it would be like that.
Right. Meaning only if you specifically are cutting it bekavanah for length and width, only is that a malacha, says the Rambam very explicitly. Aval.
Aval im chatach derech hefsed o belo kavanah libidato. But if you cut and you're going to end up getting a loss,
like something destructive, yeah.
Or if you it's, you just don't care, but it's measurements. Like you're a mitasek, or you're just playing with it, and you're a patoma.
Right, meaning if you did it in a way that you were just mitasek or playing with it, and he doesn't mean the halachic definition of mitasek here. He's just simply saying, if you didn't have intention to cut a particular measurement of it, you're going to be pater. So, at this point, toilet paper. Okay, before we get to this point, I'm going to ask you a question. Is anybody familiar with the rule of psik reshe on Shabbos?
Yes.
Are all of you familiar with the rule of psik reshe on Shabbos? Mm-hmm. Anybody want to give a very basic definition for me or an example? So the rule is in general, yes?
Chopping off a chicken's head, it's going
to
die.
Right. So what does that mean is, meaning, normally there's a heter on Shabbos to do something if it's a davar she'eino mitkaven. If I'm not intending to do a particular action, and it gets done, the halacha is one is pater. However, if guaranteed in the action that you are doing is going to be the outcome that is a malacha, namely, I say, I wasn't intending to kill the chicken, I just intended to cut off its head, that's going to be aser, completely 100%, you're going to be chayev, 100% deoraisa. So the question is like this, okay? Let's assume, for example, that I'm doing mechatech on this piece of paper. Let's say this is my hide. Paper would be no different, as we saw from the Tiferes Yisrael. So now imagine I take my knife, okay, and I say, I don't care how big the piece of paper is. I'm cutting it like this and like this. Okay, so I cut off my very beautiful piece of paper. Thank you for the knife, by the way. And we'll talk about whether there's a difference between using an implement and just a hand in a moment. So here's the thing. On the one hand, we would say, says the Rambam, if I did it without kavanah lemidaso, which as you saw, I just did it without kavanah lemidaso, I'm putter. But isn't that the rule of psik resha? Meaning, at the end of the day, I did cut it to a particular measurement. Just because I didn't have intention to cut it to that measurement, how does that make me pater?
Psik resha de lo nichale? Because I didn't care.
So it's not lo nichale. It's you want a piece of paper this size. It's just I didn't have kavanah for the measurement. So this is a strong question. This is a question that's asked by the Menchas Chenoch in source number 6. Ibn Chaschenach really says two important things that help us understand what's going on here. The Ibn Chaschenach notes that this is really the essence of the malacha of mechatech, is cutting a particular measurement. And therefore, says the Ibn Chaschenach in very, very strong terms, Rebelli, I think you're left, you're up now. So haklal.
Haklal, the malacha zu eina rak b'mizkaven mida m'lo kabana.
Lohave.
Lohave malacha. Haklal.
Lo shayach,
what is it?
Psikresha.
Ki hamalacha eina malacha rak b'mizkaven malacha. Okay, so maybe I'll...
You can read the English, yeah.
Okay, so after saying the Rambam, he writes, the rule is that this malacha is only relevant when one is intending to cut a specific measurement, and without intention to do so, it's not considered a malacha at all. I think that's where...
Right.
Right,
and the concept of separation is not relevant, and I see I forgot to translate the second line. There you go. Thanks for the catch there.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Right, it's not considered a malacha at all, and the concept of secretion is not relevant since the malacha is only considered a malacha when one intends to do so.
Meaning to cut it with a particular measurement. So, what he's saying seems to be is that that's, again, the definition of this malacha. Therefore, to say that it's a psikresha, because automatically it's going to be cut to a particular size, he says, you can't call that action the malacha of mechatech, because you didn't intend to do it. He's saying, basically, it's inherent in the malacha altogether to say that it is mechatech. That's the way he understands the Rambam. And therefore, again, in the event that someone did cut, but actually couldn't care the less about the midah, he seems to say that it's not a malacha at all.
Is it all just based on if you care? Let's say, like, in the case of toilet paper. When you cut toilet paper...
So we're going to get to that in a minute. Just give me... to the end of this. But yes, that's obviously going to be the big discussion about toilet paper, is how much you do this. It's unclear exactly. I mean, the Rambam still says pater. Pater generally means pater avalaser. You could read this Minchas Chenach, I don't want to get too much into the deal, you could read this Minchas Chenach as saying that, like, there's really nothing wrong altogether, at the very least, from the perspective of the Malacha of Mechatech. You could also read him as saying that's the reason why there's no Psik Resha, meaning you can't make a Psik Resha into something that's not relevant here, but it still would be Aser Midrabanan because of Mechatech. At the end of the day, does it matter in the case of toilet paper? Only in as much as doing it really lechatchila, but if you're ever in a bidyevet situation, as we said before, you have the understanding of it being covered a brios issue. Okay, so that's just something to keep in mind. So now, if I were to ask you, cutting toilet paper, would you say it falls under the rubric of the halacha of mechatech as it is right now? By the way, the Minchas Chenach notes in the next line, sorry, I never got you to read, is that there is no difference between mechatech v'kli and mechatech v'yad. There are some opinions that say that, but I don't believe they're accepted. To say that that would be the difference. If mechatech is only specifically when you take an instrument to cut, whereas if you tear it apart, it's not mechatech, we don't seem to pask in that way. So now, based on all this, although that would be a great hatter for toilet paper, obviously, based on all this, what would you say about toilet paper? Do you think toilet paper falls under the rubric of mechatech or not?
It does.
You would say it does. Why?
Because there's cut pieces. There's
cut pieces, and you want to cut 3 pieces of toilet paper. Right? Okay, well, size. Anybody disagree?
Sometimes 4 pieces.
Better. Sometimes 4 pieces, okay?
So each piece is a piece. It's not like...
That was very telling, by the way. Do you know why that was telling? This what you just said.
Recorded.
No.
So you don't always want...
So clearly, we just proved pieces. That there's no actual measurement that you want in terms of length.
But there is still a measurement of pieces. Each piece is a specific amount.
Okay, so what's the measurement that you want to cut of toilet paper?
The perforations might just be there.
It's not
what
you want to cut. There's specific measurements because there's the perforations of each.
Okay, getting back to the Rambam, let's try to read this again.
Once the
preparations
are there.
So when you are cutting toilet paper, are you having kavana for a particular length or not? When you are cutting toilet paper, are you having kavana for a particular length or not? That's my question to you. You're saying you care about 3. You're saying you care about 4.
There is a minimum. But there is still, you still want a certain amount of paper and there's specific measurements related to those.
Yeah. The perforations are there. You want to cut on the perforations.
Yeah, there's no perforations, it'd be more of a reason
to
say.
Okay, so a standard approach taken by some seems to be exactly that. If you're cutting on the perforation, so therefore you must want exactly that amount of toilet paper. There are other ways to redefine the malacha, but it's not necessarily...
Even if there's no preparation, you still need X amount of toilet paper.
Okay, so you're saying you need a minimum.
Yeah, so is that...
Okay, I don't know if that would be considered Yisgavin l'midas arko midas rachbo v'yachtof b'chavana, I'm not sure that would be the case. I'm not sure that would be the case. But there are many that will take it and say, listen, you're cutting it at a particular space. You're cutting it exactly at the perforation. That means you're clearly intending to cut a certain amount of it. However, there's a very interesting tshuva from Rav Avadia in Yabia Omer 9, or Achayim 108, which is fascinating, as you can see in the title there, because Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul sent him his Shel Tshuvas Ar Tzion. And he sent it to Rav Avadia, who was a contemporary of his. I believe they were in the same shir at some point in one of these Sephardi yeshivas. And he sent it to him saying, can you please write Ha'aras on my Sefer? Well, lesson to all of us, if Rav Avadia was still around, don't do that, because this is Ha'ara number 185 out of 195. That he wrote to him in that tshuva, in which Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul wrote that if one cuts toilet paper on Shabbos, they are chayav mishum mechatech. It's a deoraisa of mechatech. So says Rav Avadia in Yabia Omer, and I can read this one because it's not fair for you all to read and me not to read. Says Rav Avadia, be'amud reish tamach zayin os vav, on page 267.06, ma shekasavta shebikriyas niyar toilet b'Shabbos yesh iser Torah mishum mechatech, lesa. That's not true at all. Shekvar Kasaf Agon or Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Shimikevan Shehachosech Asaniyar Lohaya Makbid, and Hayu Osimes Anikavim Biniyar Hein Yoser Aroch Hein Yoser Katzar. He says, since a person wouldn't care if the perforations were another inch this way or another inch that way, right? Vechotech Rak Bimakom Shenoach Lo, as you mentioned, he's only tearing it on the perforations because it's easier to tear. Ein Lezeh Shaychus Lemelachas Mechatech Klau. He says this is completely unrelated to Melachas Mechatech. V'hu yivu dvar v'shmer Shabbat k'il chaseh b'tikun v'milu m'amod mem ha'aranun hei. V'chach kaseh b'pshitas ha'grash mesas b'shal shuvas shemenu magen. And therefore says Rav Avadia, based on this, he says, for sure, v'lachenim b'mikre lo hechini our toilet talush me'erev Shabbos. Yesh lehatir mishum kavad abreos. Says, in the event that someone did not prepare toilet paper in Erev Shabbos, meaning he's saying that would still be ideal, but nevertheless, if someone didn't do that, certainly they can just go and tear the toilet paper because of Kavod HaBrios. Why? Ein lezeh shum shaychus l'melachas, ein lezeh shaychus l'melachas mechatech klal. Based on this, Shlomo Zalman is saying, you need to actually have in mind a particular length. And if you're just cutting it on the perforations because that's where the perforations are, clearly you don't have a particular intended length.
You need over a minimum amount. Is that not considered you care about the...
No.
That's
not misgavin l'midas orko v'rachbo.
It says precise measure, but the Rambam just says midatoch. You just need a midah.
Yeah, but it has to be a particular one.
Where does it get the word particular from?
Because he gives you a very... Right? He gives you a very particular example, but the bigger issue is that what were you doing with the or? Right?
I guess using it to die or something.
You were using the or, presumably for some sort of implement that or kli that you're going to make out of it or something, where it needed to be a particular, a specific thing. I mean, to say that, well, I want it to be more than 1 inch is saying that that has a mida is very hard to read into the Rambam.
Just when he said like mitasek and misakek, that sounds like someone who's not. Like, you're still when you do, you're cutting it to length because you have to use it. Mitasek and misakek sounds like he's just playing around with it and ripping it up.
You can't deny this is below kavana lemidaso. I mean,
yeah, I think
this
a minimum mida is still a mida.
So you're saying
toilet paper is not enough.
So you're saying that when the Rambam says v'hushayit kaven l'midat orko midat rachbo v'yachtoch b'chavana, that means that you care about having a minimum. Not that you care about the actual amount that you're cutting.
There's always
and how would you understand the Gemara? Right, getting back to the Gemara in Shabbos, which is the source of all this, anyways.
What did the Gemara say again?
Well, you have it there in front of you. Go take a look. Don't.
That's comparing it to grinding. So in case of grinding, you don't even need a minimum measurement because grinding is completely just destructive grinding.
And if you're particular, right? Ma ikpid ameshachta.
Yeah, because there you're particular.
That sounds like particular
to
me.
You don't want it to be that small.
I mean,
what?
You don't want it to be too small. There's a minimum.
I feel like there's always a minimum. Like, even if you want sawdust.
Yes, but the Gemara there uses the language of ikpid. It really does sound like there's a very particular element to this. I hear the point, but I just can't agree with it. And there's a reason why a lot of these poskim follow this, and there's a reason why Rav Avadia quotes this and shoots down Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul. What?
There was someone who was shooting down. He's shooting down. So.
That's correct. No, there are definitely poskim that still consider this mechatech. For all that we have this at Shlomo Zalman, and that anybody who learns the Malacha this way has no idea how anybody else can consider it mechatech. It's very funny to watch. There's a tshuva... In So, I mean, not only here, which is, again, quoting from Shlomo Zalman and Yehudah Omer, but there's also in Minchas Asher, Chelak Aleph, Simen Chavtes, at the end, he, like, mentions backhandedly, like, of course there's no shaykhis between, like, mechatech and toilet paper. Like, it's like, and he says, like, it's davar pasha. Anybody who knows what mechatech is will realize that there's no mechatech on toilet paper. Like, of course. On the other hand, there are poskim that actually still say this agrees. There are ways to relearn the malacha, and there are also those that say you want it to be a particular length because you want to cut it on the perforation. But there are those that redefine the malacha entirely. You can see more, if you're interested in more on this particular malacha, you can see Rabbi Ribiat, who has a lot of interesting stuff on this. There's a huge, long section in the back where he tries to redefine the malacha, although he does cite this Shlomo Zalman. He disagrees with him, but he does cite it there to his credit. He actually also makes another comment, which is relevant for later. But nevertheless, this does tend to be a massive machlokes haposkim as to whether or not this is mechatech. On the one hand, again, you have Rav Avadya, Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Asher Weiss, and many others who say, this is not mechatech at all. How could you consider this mechatech? And again, it seems to be, you know, based on significant sources in the Rishonim and Acharonim. On the other hand, you have, I think it was Rav Eliashiv who held that it was mechatech as well, but I don't remember offhand. You can check in the Dirshu Mishneh Brura. There was Rav Ben-Tzion of Asha'ul. Tiferes Yisrael does sound like it. He doesn't address this case in particular, but based on the definition that we gave him, it really does sound like it. Because he doesn't mention this particularly. I don't know if he does it in his chibur. That was only in his explanation of the Mishnah. Again, he does have something additional besides for just the commentary on that particular Mishnah, where he deals with Shabbos. I forget what it's called, and I didn't look that up. But you could definitely make an argument that Tiferes Yisrael would pretty much be agreeing on that one. It could very well be that he learned the Rambam like you, right? I'm not trying to be shilly you. I'm just saying simply, it's hard for me to understand that. So you basically end up with a massive machlokas. other than putting aside the question of Kli versus Yad, which again you may have another snif lahakel based on that if you actually hold by that, which again it doesn't seem many do. You do have basically a massive machlokas achronim as to whether or not this applies to toilet paper. In the event that you're dealing with the deoraisa, though, you can't just get away with that for kavod abrios. Okay, that's important to remember here. Again, kavod abrios will not be matur you in Eser Shabbos, which is a malacha deoraisa. Okay, that was malacha number one. Okay, we talked about mechatech, a very, very similar malacha, I don't know why that slipped out, not doing very well over the past couple of days, is the malacha of Korea. Okay, does anybody know what the difference between Korea and mechatech is? If you do, then you could just give the shir instead of me, because, like, there's so much, you could have given the shir based on the differences between mechatech and Korea, but let's just talk about mechatech for what it is, which we did, and Korea for what it is. So. Korea is for sewing. Okay, so let's see how that works. Let's take a look. I was going to bring the Rashi and the Rambam based on the Mishnah here again, but then I saw that Rabbi Flug already did that for me in this written shir on YU Torah, so I said, hey, let's just have him do it. He can explain it better than me. So, anybody want to read source number 8? It's English, so it's an easy read. Go ahead.
In the Mishnah, in Shabbat 73a, and listing the Malachos, list the Malacha of Korea as Korea Omnas Lispor, so that's for tearing for the purpose of sewing. So Rashi over there, and Diranos the Sofer, explains that since all Malachos are derived from the Mishkan, the Malacha of Korea is limited to instances where one is tearing in order to sew, because in the Mishkan, the only instances of tearing are for the purpose of sewing rounded holes in the curtains. So if it's not for that, then it's not a Malacha. Yeah?
Seems to be.
Okay, according to Rashi, Amas Lispor is part of the definition of the Malacha. So there can be no violation of the Malacha if the tearing is not for the purpose of sewing. So Tosos over there, seem to be the same opinion. However, Rambam and Hoshab in Perigyot Halacha Yod implies that the Mishnah's requirement of Amas Lispor is not a function of the definition of the Malacha. Rather, in order to violate the Malacha of Korea, the teaching must be performed the tearing must be performed for a productive purpose. If it is for a destructive purpose, it is considered a halakhic destruction. So any malacha that is performed destructively is not a bona fide malacha and only constitutes a rabbinic violation. Therefore, there is no inherent requirement of amanas lispor. The only requirement is that the tearing is productive.
Okay, let's stop here for a second, summarize, figure things out. We have a Mishnah which says vakorea amanas lispor. Okay? The Mishnah says that. The question is, what does that teach us? So Rashi says, Korea Amanas Lispor means that's the Malacha. The Malacha is called Korea Amanas Lispor, and therefore if you're tearing for some reason other than for sewing purposes, it's not this Malacha. It may be another Malacha, but it's not this Malacha. Okay? The Rambam, on the other hand, views the Amanas Lispor part as simply an example of the way that you're doing Korea in a productive manner. Meaning, if you're doing Korea in a non-productive manner, we know that that from other sources is Mekalkel. That's something that you're going to be pater for. So therefore, the Malacha, which is Korea, has to be for something positive. An example of doing something positive would be Amanas Litvar. An example of doing positive might be if tearing it off allows you to do something else. Okay? You can already see how this may or may not have applications to our case. However, he does a beautiful job explaining a follow-up example of this, which we see both in Rashi and the Rambam. So go ahead.
So the only requirement is that the tearing is productive. The dispute between Rashi and Rambam is further illustrated in explaining a statement of the Gemara in Shabbos Memtas Adav. The Gemara states that opening a shirt whose collar was sewn together constitutes a biblical violation. Rashi over there explains that by opening the collar, one violates the malacha of Makom Fatish, the final hammer, so completing the work on an item. But Ramban, explains that Rashi's opinion that although there is tearing involved and tearing is not for the purpose of soap, therefore one cannot buy the malacha of Korea because it's not for specifically soap. So one must conclude that by opening the collar one violates the malacha of Makom Fatish. Rambam, that means the same place.
Mm-hmm.
Same place implies that opening the collar constitutes a violation of the malacha of Korea because Rambam is consistent in the opinion that Almanas Liskor is not part of the definition of the malacha, just an example. Therefore, tearing the collar in order to render it usable is a violation of Korea, even though it is not for the purpose of soap.
Okay. Does everybody understand what this case is of opening the collar or no? Yes? So imagine this was completely sewed together, meaning all I had was a shirt. I'm not going to take off my shirt to show you. That will make it fantastic on Mayu Torah. Okay. Imagine, though, the shirt was closed over here, and in order to get a neck hole, you had to cut it. So according to Rashi, is that in any way Almanas Litvar? No. So Rashi says, what are you doing there? You're completing the shirt, which is a malacha of Makom Patish. How, by the way, does Rashi know that it's a malacha d'oraisa? Because the Gemara says you're chayav chatas. Okay, the question is what your chayav chatas for. So Rashi says, you finish the shirt, Makom Patish. Rambam, on the other hand, says Korea for any purpose is Korea and can be malacha d'oraisa. So therefore, he says the issue that you have is Korea. By the way, he notes that the Rambam implies that. The reason why the Rambam implies that is because he puts it in the place where he talks about Korea. He says Korea is this. And if you, were to tear the collar open from a shirt, then you would be chayav. He doesn't actually say Mishum Korea. There is an opinion out there that the Rambam also thinks it's because of Makom Patish, but he just threw it in there because it's a Korea-type action. But that's rejected pretty much wholesale by everybody that interprets the Rambam.
You can't be chayav for both? You're doing Korea and you're doing Makom Patish.
You can be chayav to set that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I would think
that the Gemara would say, yeah, that you'd be over for both. The question is just for what, right? The question is what we call it, not what you've done. Yeah. So this brings us to something very strange. Based on this Rambam, and it's actually brought down to Shulchan Aruch in a few places that it's Almanas L'Sakein, okay, or at the very least in one place. I don't know how many places. At the very least in one place, he follows the Rambam in that. Now, here's the problem. If you were Shulchan Aruch then, and I asked you, fill in the blank, tearing paper on Shabbos is usher because of, what would you say?
Well, if it's productive,
yeah,
you say it's Korea.
No, because it quiz, you probably pass in the Gresham test. Yes.
Who probably passes the Gresham?
I don't know what the Riff says, so I'm kind of stuck in the Shulchan.
Assume these are the main postgame. Assume you've got to choose, and the Shulchan Aruch in other places says, if you're Korea Almanas L'Sakein and you're Chaya for Korea.
Okay, I'm
so what would you say? If I told you, fill in the blank. If you tear paper for a productive purpose on Shabbos, you're Chaya of Mishum Korea. What does Shulchan Aruch say in source number 9?
Second. Maybe this Korea is not referring to paper, it's only referring still to fabrics.
Ah, so we'll talk about that. We'll talk about it. There is an element of that. There are... Yeah, well, we'll get to that. Well, it's part of a larger conversation, but yes. Ein shover nacheres v'ein koren haniyar, says Shulchan Aruch, citing the Rambam, mitnei shehu kemisakein kli. Whatever in the world happened to Korea? That's a big, big question. Number two, as we're going to see in the Bira, let's all read this inside of the Bira Lacha. There's this ginormous Bira Lacha, which we'll get the opportunity to go through together now.
You're breaking a Kharas and you're breaking paper.
So the case that the Mishnah is referring to in Beitza, where this the source of this is because basically you need some sort of surface to put things on, like a plate type of idea. So you can break Kharas to make a plate, you can cut up paper in order to make a plate.
Okay.
That's the context there. But let's take a look. Let's take a look at the Bir Halacha. The Bir Halacha will go through a lot of what we're doing. It's a really long Bir Halacha. I have a little summary at the bottom. Not of all the details, though, because I didn't even know if we're going to get a chance to go through this. But I will volunteer to read this, because I'm not that mean to any of you. Ein Shovrin V'chulei. Si'if Zev Asamach Lohu Milashen Rambam. Okay, the following si'if, by the way, tells us where Korea Almanas L'Sakein is Aser, is a Chiyuv. Okay, Chai Mishim Korea. Right? Humilashna Ramam. Udvar Visif Zeh, who noveya mimashe amar bebeitza daf lamid beis, says what he says here is based on what it said in beitza daf lamid beis, hatam dimash vileimana. And the reason is because you're making it into a kli. Vilech ora lefima shemuchach besi'if hasamuch, based on what's proven in the following zif. De korea almanas lesakein chayev mishum korea. That korea almanas lesakein, for example, to make a plate, would be chayv mishum korea. Amai lo nemar bazeh mishum korea. Why is Shulchan Aruch saying gemisakin kli? He paskins in the next sif, like the Rambam, who says it's korea almanas lesakin. Ve'od, dimilashna Rambam perikhaf gimel mashma shehu midrabanan shekil lo shamim od kama dvarm sheyadua shehi midrabanan. He says, number two, the Rambam holds that this is midrabanan. And Shulchan Aruch following that, right? If you saw in the last, what's the language of Shulchan Aruch? Mipnei shehu kemisakin kli sounds a lot like a dirabanan to me. So continues the Bir Halacha. He says, what's going on? Vim hayabo mishum korea hayabo isura deoraisa. He says, then it should have been a deoraisa. So we've got two problems with the Shulchan Aruch here. Number one, he seems to be saying that it's misakin kli instead of korea, which he paskins like the Rambam. Number two, he seems to be implying that it's derabanan when we know it's deoraisa because of korea. What is going on? And he says, uvemes kvar hiksha zed b'primigadim v'nishar b'kushia. He says, the truth is, the Prima Gadim asked this and says, Sardian, I don't know. I don't know what Shulchan Aruch's doing. This is tremendously misleading. Right? I mean, obviously I'm not trying to say that about Shulchan Aruch, but the way it sounds is mamash like he's doing Lifnei Iver. He's telling you it's only a Derabanan to do something like this when you're dealing with a Deoraisa. What's going on? Okay? Umasharata echad mehachronim lahotzi mizeh delo shayach kriyakim bedavar hanitvar v'ne'erag shenistabek migufim rabim. So he says, and what one of the Achronim wanted to say, he doesn't even want to mention his name, by the way, this is the Shulchan Aruch Rav here. He's very clearly very upset by this. He says, maybe it's only for something that can be sewn or knitted, which is combining various bodies. Okay, that's the way he was, Gufim Rabim, meaning, for example, if I have, let's say, two pieces of fabric, I can sew and tear them, right? But when it comes to paper, paper is not, it's not shaykh that. So maybe paper is exempt from this. Right? Maybe it's if you have one solid thing that I'm going like this, Korea is not shaykh to it. So, says the Mishnah Berurah in very strong terms. Okay? Ze'eno, dimivur b'Yerushalmi dibehebya, dibeor shaykh gamkein Korea. He says, no. If it's relevant to or, if it's relevant to hide, therefore, it must be relevant even when it's only guf echad. This is the reason why he rejects the Shulchan Aruch Rav. I don't want to get into this too much, but what you should take away from this is, mikoach this kasha, the Shulchan Aruch Rav understood the mahos of kriya to not be relevant to paper. Okay? He would say, what's the malacha that's akin to that by or and by niyar? Mechatech, right? He would say, that's what's relevant, but not korea. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't like that from this Yerushalmi, and he really goes, you know, with very, very strongly in this point. And he continues. Okay? He says, right? Ukvar ratza lomar kein anishmas Adam, and the Nishmas Adam wanted to say this, v'dacha zemikoach Yerushalmi hazeh, and he rejected the shita, meaning that was his havamina as well, and he said, based on this, Yerushalmi doesn't think it's the case. So Adkan, we basically have two shitas. One shita to say that there's no such thing as korea on paper, okay? Which is a pretty significant shita. It's the havamina of the Nishmas Adam, which in itself we wouldn't really consider, but it's also the maskana of the Shulchan Aruch Rav. That's pretty significant. And it's based on, really, something that seems very well-grounded in Shulchan Aruch. The fact that, like, this kasha in Shulchan Aruch is a really strong kasha. So, however, the Mishnah Berurah disagrees. And then he says, V'lulei demistafina havamina davar charash bazeh. Then he gives you his take on what's going on here. D'lo shayach shem korea almanas l'sakein, ki im kishe korea is a davar ba'emtza, he says, it's only considered korea when you tear something down the middle and you're fixing up both. What they would do in the Mishkan. If you had something wrong with the Yiriyah, they would tear it and restitch it. It would only be when there's a toeles in fixing both pieces, so to say. When you're korea into two, you got to fix this piece and this piece. That's where it's shayach to call it korea. Okay? He's only talking about calling it korea. He's not redefining the definition of the malacha in terms of the severity of your action, but only in what you would call it so far. Okay? Just keeping that in mind. There will be nafkaminas to the severity of it. But right now, he's just saying you would only call it korea then. Right? V'chein ma she'amar sham v'shavis kuftalid davda kikiska gam kena to'elas u'latzara kol ha'beged, and he brings other rayas u'kshagorea b'chamasa d'mechaif ha'ramba matam mishum d'meitiv v'zela atzmo she'meshake chamasa have ki'ilu misake in kol guf ha'beged. You already get to see where things start to get a little bit stretched. Like here where he says, well, what about korea b'chamasa, which the Rambam says you're chayev, which again, we're going within the sheet of the Rambam here. That's very critical to remember. This is the word language of the Rambam. It says, what about korea b'chamasa? So if his definition is, korea is only called korea when you're repairing both sides of it, korea b'chamasa is when you're angry, you go, tear something. So he said, it's like you're repairing both sides because you're feeling better about it. Okay, I'm not gonna argue, but I think the argument speaks for itself. Note that there are various later poskim that reject this in some very strong terms, actually. But nevertheless, here's what he has to say. And he says, what's the opposite? Masha enkin k'shorea eze davar meha beged min hatzad v'kavanaso l'sakin bazes ha-beged shehaya aruch o mikulko bisfaso v'hachaticha hanikra'as lo yisukan bazek klal lo shayich bazes shem korea al-minis l'sakin. So he says, for example, however, says the Mishnah Berurah, let's say I have a coat, and the coat is too long. So what do? I pull off the bottom inch, I tear it off. And now the coat is not too long anymore. What's that called, says the Mishnah Berurah? Enoch Hanami, it may be a problem, but it's called Misakin Mane. It's called Maka Bepatish. Even the Rambam would agree that it's not called Korea. Korea is when you're trying to fix both things. When you're not trying to fix both things, though, when they're not on equal footing, it's when it's uneven, so to say, it's called misakein mane.
If the coat is made for someone taller, and then you gave it to someone who's just not that tall as you, because the kli is already made.
No, I mean, the kli is, you know, if it's being adjusted to finish something off for the person who it's there for, I think everybody would agree that's misakein mane. Okay? V'imakbet alamida nira diyesh b'zeh gam mishum mechatech, mayin lebas dimenshim chafez, mashu kazav no benin mechatech, says, and if, by the way, you're very makbid on the amount that you were tearing off, right, or leaving, then he said you may have a machatech issue. But look there, but we're not talking about that now. We talked about machatech earlier. V'tali ha-davar be-ha-tikun. Im hu-tikun gamur chayav mishum ma'ke be-patish de-gomur ha-kli o ha-beged v'im eino tikun gamur hu-midir ha-banan. He says, if it's not tikun gamur, that's something better. U-lekach, b'inyanenu shu-korea eze chatichas niyar midaf shalem k'dei li-hishtamesh. He says, in our case, where you're cutting a piece or tearing off a piece of paper from a larger piece, kedei l'shtamesh bo, in order to use it, eze davar ma, uvedaf shenikra min haniyar hazeh, eino misakno klal, v'eshter dimikalkalo gamkein, ein zeh bichlal korea menas l'sakin, v'tali hadavar rak lefi, hatikun shenaseh v'chaticha saniyar shechatcho. He says, in this case, you can't call it korea menas l'sakin. Why? Because you're basically taking a big piece from a small piece from a big piece just so you can use it properly to, again, put something on. And therefore, he says, then it will only depend on raklafi atikun shenaseh bechaticha saniyar shechatcho. And then it will depend on the tikun which was done on the piece that you pulled off. So it's not going to be called korea, but rather it's going to be called maka bepatish. And depending on what you made out of it, that's going to be how you're going to consider it chayav or pater. Okay? So he continues, Sfir Leila Harambam, Dimash Amar Sham Gemara, Dimash Filimana, Hainu, Dinira Kemisakin Kli, Delav Kli Gamur Hu Al Yedezeh. And he says, in this case, you can't really call it a Kli Gamur. And therefore, the Rambam holds that it's Dirabanan here, because it's Misakin Mane, it's Maka Bepatish, but you can't call that Korea, even though the Rambam says Korea, Amenas Lasakin is Chayiv. Ulakaka Lo Rambam, Ledinze Bechal Melsa Dirabanan, Ulfizeh. So here we go. Im Korea Haniyar Lekama Karaim. V'tzarech lekal echad liyishdamish bo, hu chayev, du korea almanas l'sakein. Says if you were to tear something into a bunch of pieces and you need each of them, meaning you're tearing it equally in some way, you're going to be chayev mishum korea. Right? And then now he gets into raya, zusmach lezmashik asav n'mashem ramad katan chaf beiz, amad beiz, alakra adzichtiv v'yachazek v'vgadav v'yikraim lishnayim kiraim, mimash mashenem v'yikraim en yodeyashu lishnayim, Right? So he asks on the Gemara, he says, Mashma distam kara hu lishnayim. Ripping something in general means tearing it into two pieces, and again, there's like an equal tearing. So that's why the malacha of Korea is defined by splitting it into two and not when you're just pulling something small off something else. Okay? Veloshi yikra is a chaticha minatzar v'yashlicho v'yishar habeged al makomo. And he brings more rayas. Okay, Yerushalmi, right? Hainu kriya hainu chituch, kriya chobe emtsa chituch minatzar. And he brings a raya from that Yerushalmi as well. If we jump down. Okay. Let's jump down. More rayas back and forth. I don't think we really need to get to too much more here. Right? Okay. By the way, okay. Avalashitas Rashi. You see that? Shitas Rashi. It's five lines up on the left side.
Yeah.
Okay, two words from the end. Avalashitas Rashi Sham. Rashi actually holds that any time that there is a positive korea that's not amanas litzpar is going to be korea is going to be considered makah bepatish, right? Kevan de osekli bekriyasa imkenachan amidi as far as the gemara is mashal imana bekriyasa what kan lo shayach b'zeshim korea klal ulakach lo hayachal gemara lomar mitam mishum korea. Okay, says Rashi, this is obvious for viacholios, and this is an important point. Dila Rashi yesh b'zeish iser midoraisa shemake bepatish. Okay, that's really the point I wanted to get to here. Is even though we explained according to the Rambam, he says it's going to have to be according to the Rambam that it's a derabanan. He says it's shayach to say that Rashi would hold this deoraisa shemake bepatish. Okay. But at the end of the day, he goes through, and there's much, it's longer, this piece. I cut out a nice chunk of it at the end. He says, he doesn't really come out conclusively here. But nevertheless, we see that in his opinion, it's shayach to be miyashiv this, and still to say that the Rambam would hold that korei al menas l'sakein is relevant in these cases. Although it would be, according to the conclusion of the Mishnah Brura, I don't think there is any way that you could say in toilet paper. Maybe there is. I mean, it's hard to know what he would say about toilet paper according to the Rambam. On the one hand, he says, you know, it's not called Korea. It's certainly not called Korea according to him by toilet paper then, according to the Rambam. Why? Because you're pulling off three pieces from the whole roll. Right, that's certainly pulling off the end for the use of that little piece, but it's not a korea l'shnayim where you're intending to repair both sides. Everybody would agree that according to the mission, this mission of Brura's Shita, that it's not going to be called korea. The question as to whether or not the Rambam could consider it a deoraisa seems very schwer. It's hard to know. He gives a very, as we said, wishy-washy reason for the Rambam why in the case of tearing off paper in order to use as a plate, it's not considered a deoraisa, so it's hard to know what the Rambam would hold here, according to his opinion. It is important to note, though, again, according to Rashi, you might be dealing with an iser deoraisa by toilet paper of makeh bepatish, right? You are creating yourself a usable piece of toilet paper. Now, you could argue on this, and you could say the toilet paper was already usable beforehand, and you're simply saving the rest of it, which is also makeh bepatish on the rest of the roll. You could discuss it back and forth in either direction. The point is to say,
the Rambam for sure would not say it's makeh bepatish because the way he looks at the case with the plate.
I'm not certain about that because the Mishnah Berurah doesn't. Again, it's hard to understand what his reason is to why the Rambam doesn't consider it deoraisa. He says the reason why the Rambam considers it derabanan is because he considers it derabanan. Why? Because he says not quite mitakein that piece that you tore off. It's very hard for me to understand this. Far, if any of you understand it better, you can look back. It's basically smack in the middle where he talked about this issue. Right, I mean, here's his language. Here. Vitale Hadavar, if you see, it's right after the bracket, so then jump down two lines exactly to the second Vitale Hadavar. Rak lefiatikun jenasa vechatichas aniyar shechatcho. So here's his language. It's really l'rambam, demashe amar sham v'gemar demashe leimana, hainu denirik kemetaken kli delav kli gamur hu al yedei zeh. I don't know what that means. Right? Lav kli, right? That's not a coherent definition that I can apply to other cases. I don't know what makes something kli gamor or not. I'm assuming if a plate is not mashvile kli gamor al yedei zeh, then toilet paper is not either. But it's hard to know. Like, it's hard for me to understand that explanation of the Shabura. That's why I'm telling you this. But anyways, this is really getting into the idea of whether or not korea applies here. The answer pretty much seems to be that korea doesn't apply here. Right? That's pretty much what you get. If, however, you hold like the Prima Gadim, who says that, Sarach Ion to the question, but really according to the Rambam, Korea should apply here, which, by the way, if we would take out this diok in Shulchan Aruch, everybody would pretty much agree to that. If the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch would not have written this halacha, and they would have just skipped it out, everyone would have said, you're chayav mishum Korea. But the fact that they wrote this causes everybody to reevaluate what's called Korea. Causes the Mishabura to reevaluate what's called Korea, causes the Shulchan Aruch Harav to redefine what Korea is. The Prima Gun is really the only one who, Lemaisa, seems to be going with the normal sort of approach by saying, listen, I don't know why he doesn't say it's Korea, but it is, right? Like, and the truth is the Mishabura is actually mashma that way. He says, look, in the Bir Alacha, this, that, but the fact that he ends off like this, it seems that the most straightforward approach, other than this Diyak and Shulchan Aruch, is to simply say that, yes, Korea does apply here. Okay? Now, again, you can't ignore the fact that this is in Shulchan Aruch, and therefore you get what ends up being a very big mess. And again, to summarize, you get the Shulchan Aruch Harav who says it's not Korea because Korea is not relevant to paper. Right? And that's why the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say it, because it's just taka, not there. You get the Mishnah Berurah who comes up again with, in the Bir Alacha, some challenge that he says everything needs Sarach Ion here. The possibility that it's simply called Makeh B'Patish, that basically leaves the Rambam again in a very confusing state. But Rashi, by the way, is crystal clear according to him. And according to everybody, if it's Makeh B'Patish, then it's Makeh B'Patish. And we'll get to that in a little bit. Finally, again, the last sheet you have is just ignore this halacha and say that it's Korea. So now, how would we paskin on this if you had a massive machlokas of this regard? So it's interesting. I would have thought it's a slam dunk to just say, you know what, leave aside your diyukim. And, you know, it seems that most people would define the malach of Korea as it is, and to say it's probably still a chashash of Korea. But yet, look in Shemir Shabbos. Very, very interesting, his language here and what he says. Gives you great insight into the way he wrote Shemir Shabbos, by the way. Ayin, source number 11. Anybody want to read?
Sure. Ayin, Siman, Shin Mem, Sif, Yud Gimel.
Which we just did. Which I told you about. That one we saw also. Okay, so far, what are we up to? What did he say?
He just says, look at the Biur Halacha, look at the Shulchan Aruch, and look at the Shulchan Aruch without mentioning his name.
Right, and what does he say? Ve'af ki yesh ladun. What does that mean? How would you translate that paragraph, that wording?
To discuss.
There's a lot to think about. Meaning, this is a complex shaila. He's saying, you could have thought that tearing toilet paper on Shabbos was mutter. Meaning, this is a note on where he says it's asur to tear toilet paper on Shabbos. And he's saying, this note is, bemes yesh ladun. However, what does he say? Why does he say it's asur? Not because he holds it's a runaway slam dunk psak, but satamti li'isur.
Satamti li'isur, pietza, tagonu,
shlomo zalman,
shlita,
v'sin tzatzal. So he says, the reason why he said it's Asr, because Rosh Hashanah Zalman told me basically, don't get involved in this type of thing. Say that it's Asr, leave it Asr, even though in a Hanami you might have been able to make an argument to say that it's Mutter. Now, he's certainly not saying that it should have been Mutter and I said it was Asr. He's saying it's a massive machlokes, achronim, and is totally on the machlokes Rishonim, as to whether or not it's Korea. But it's just interesting to see him writing this as saying their taka is, you know, yesh ladun on this point. Rabbi Rishurkin brought this to our attention. He said, I think it's mutter. I passing like the Shulchan Aruch Harav. So you could have made an argument to say that it's really taka, not Korea, when it comes to Eric Tolbeir. On the other hand, again, there is a very, very significant group of poskim that will taka say Korea is relevant here. And this would be a Korea Midoraisa. Why? Because it's Amanas Lasakein. You're tearing off a piece of toilet paper again. Either you're going to say that you need this piece of toilet paper and you couldn't have used it when it was attached to the roll, or if you want to go with the Sfarat that says, well, I could have just used it when it's attached to the roll, well, then you're being Korea Amanas Lasakein by removing dirty toilet paper from the roll. But either way, you may be dealing with the Doraisa of Korea, and it's very, again, it's certainly not something you should be fooling around with, being that you have such Gedolei Poskim that would consider it Korea Midoraisa. Okay? Now, Mitakein Kli. I wrote Makeh B'Patish Bone because that's the way people think of it, but it's really not Bone. Okay, just a disclaimer. I was thinking of getting rid of it on the source sheet. I said, no, it's important that people realize, like, Mitakein Kli, you think because you're making something, but it's not actually the Malacha of Bone. Okay, it's the Malacha of Makeh B'Patish, very clearly, by a few sources in a few places. One relevant section here, and I could have brought Rabbi Ribiat's book. I don't know if that's the right volume that's sitting in here, but another room. People apply this idea here. The question is like this. When you're taking a piece of paper that's going to serve you as a plate, I mean, in those days, we don't know how many meals they'd be using such a plate for or things like that. It may be taka misaka and kli, or at least a drabanan or a niraka misaka and kli. The question is, with a piece of toilet paper, you know what's happening after you rip it off, and then it's going right down the toilet. So can you really consider that a kli in terms of its usability? And, I mean, it's going right into the garbage. And this really hinges on the machlokas relating to, and discussion relating to disposable kelim. There is a significant opinion, which is quoted here from an article from Rabbi Jachter, summarizing the opinion of Rav Moshe Feinstein, Igros Moshe OC 122, wrote a lengthy response on this topic. Rav Moshe writes that it is theoretically permissible to open cans that people customarily discard after emptying their contents. He believes that opening these cans is analogous to cracking open a nut or peeling a banana. Rav Moshe argues that even Tosfos, Rosh, Shulchan Aruch would permit opening this type of can since there's no concern for fashioning an opening. However, Rav Moshe writes that it's forbidden to open these cans that some people use after emptying its contents. Okay, regarding these cans, there is a concern that one will create a functional opening. Rav Moshe also believes that when one intends to use a can after emptying its food contents, he creates a kli. Rav Moshe believes that the can is not a kli because people intend to use it only once. Only when one intends to reuse a can does it attain the status of a kli. Okay, and it has nafka minas for tefilas kelim. However, this would seem to say that in the case of toilet paper, it's hard to consider it kemisake and kli, certainly not at the deraisa level, but maybe not even at the derabanan level, right? Rav Moshe is being matir you to create this kli of a Coke can. And similarly, that would, you know, we would assume that that would apply to toilet paper as well, which is also, it's true, you're creating a kli, but it's going right in the garbage. And maybe there would be enough gamina to... Never mind. So, nevertheless, though, Rav Moshe writes in practice, if you see after the ellipsis, Rav Moshe writes that in practice, once you're not even open cans that people customarily discard, he expresses concern that people who are not learned will be unable to grasp the distinction between cans that we may open and those that we not. And in general, it's not something that people rely on, but it is brought by, you know, a couple of sources to say that maybe this would be the reason why there'd be less of a concern about mitaken kli. However, based on Shulchan Aruch, I mean, you're dealing with the Durabanan. So that's a lot easier to get around because you're starting with the Durabanan. Maybe you can get rid of it. Maybe you can't. Okay. Fine. We don't have time to talk about Kavod HaBrios. I just wanted to give you the Piskei Tshuvos as a list of practical suggestions. And if you want, I can read you out also the list found in Shemir Shabbos. Lemaisa, there is significant reason to be concerned for a deoraisa of mechatech. Lemaisa, there is significant reason to be concerned about a deoraisa of korea, probably even more than mechatech laniyus dati in terms of what you see in the poskim. Again, because we had a very significant voice that's saying that mechatech was not relevant. And metaka and kli, it's very hard to say that it's a deoraisa here in this case with toilet paper for a host of reasons. Most importantly, Shulchan Aruch. Therefore, you do have a heter to do durabanans for the sake of Kavod HaBrios. Now, that does not mean you can specifically rely on this lechatchila and say, I'm not going to cut toilet paper and then I will be in a circumstance. Which, no. Lechatchila, you have to avoid being over on Nisra durabanan, b'makom Kavod HaBrios, if you can. If you can't, though, somewhere where you didn't or you forgot or whatever the case may be, the question becomes, what do poskim require you to do in order to cut the toilet paper? So if you were just going to say that we're only dealing with the Rabbanans here, which is Shayach, again, you can see a voice in the poskim like that, and that's certainly mashma from what Rav Avadya wrote in source number 7, they would just say, so you go to the toilet paper dispenser and you tear off a piece of toilet paper and you use it. It's Kavod HaBrios, that's what you need to do. Okay, great. Kavod HaBrios, by the way, I should note, is not just able to push off one derabanan. It's a question in Lamdas, which I wish we could have more time to explore, but we don't, as to why derabanans don't apply in the case of Kavod HaBrios. It's not pshat that, like, we're weighing out Kavod HaBrios versus derabanan, so Kavod HaBrios can be one derabanan, but not two derabanans or three derabanans. It's maybe Chacham or Mochal al Kvodam v'makom Kavod HaBrios, or it's they weren't gozer v'makom Kavod HaBrios. There's different approaches, but we'll you know, that will be for another time, maybe. The question is, if you're going to say it's just the Rabbanans, so fine, you tear the toilet paper, you're all good and done. However, because there's so much chashash that there may be deoraisas involved, as we see, there are opinions that each three of these malachos could be deoraisas. Granted, they're not majority opinions. Maybe for Korea they might be. But it doesn't seem that they are. So I brought you the Piskei Tshuvos' list of what to do. So he says, and by the way, he notes this, which is very, very important, his next point. V'yesh bo mishum biyushu kavod abrios. Okay, so also if someone has a runny nose or they have a cold, and they need a tissue. Okay, and I actually heard this. I think I heard this once that somebody told me that it was B'Shem V'Shalom Zalman Arbach that this equation is made, but it does seem to be made by some poskim, so I don't know if it's made in his name or not. But for that reason, I am aware of someone who was given a psak that in a city that had no Eruv, but was only considered a Carmelist, meaning it didn't have it wasn't a particularly large city where you had a chashash of Rishus Harabim, at the very least in regards to 600,000 people traveling down the roads they would be going on, they were told they're allowed to carry tissues in their pocket on a winter day to blow their nose. Because it's only carrying in a Carmelist, which is Dirabanan, and it's B'makom Kavod Abrios.
He doesn't have to go outside.
To go to shul? Sure he does.
That's enough of a reason to be Docher Dirabanan, because he wants to go to shul.
Well, it's Mishum Kavod Abrios. That was the psak they were given. I would assume that yes, by the way. I don't know how we'd consider it relative to trade Dirabanan B'makom Mitzvah or things like that. But also, I mean, to have people stay at home is also considered something that we are loath to do on Shabbos for a few reasons. But I am not going to the specifics of that talk. I'm just saying, you see here, he also makes the same equation. Okay, so he says, V'yase b'seder ha'adifi yustel halan, here's what you should do. Yachal lirchot asma b'mayim yase kein. Okay, he says, if you need to wash yourself in water, you can do that. And he says, by the way, if you need to use the Dud Shemesh for that, please. Which is another discussion altogether. Beis, yishtamish b'niyar iton v'chadome, lamroche gorein l'mechikas osios. This is a huge discussion in the poskim. Shmir Shabbos, I believe, does not follow his order on this. You can look up Shmir Shabbos afterwards to say, if you have a piece of newspaper on the back of the toilet, maybe that's better to use. There you're being mochek, but you're only being mochek kalachar yad. That's what's going to come out. So you're being mochek kalachar yad, if even that. If even that, he holds you're probably not doing that, so therefore it's better. Then, yavini yar chatucha yidei nachri derech reshus harabim shelanu shehi karmelis, which is two durabanans for this, so that you're great. Again, kishayesh be'efsharuto lahamtin, when you can wait for that. Yavi ba'atzmo al yedei Yehudi acher reshus harabim shelanu uvishinui. Okay, so if you can bring, again, cut toilet paper, you can call out, excuse me, can someone bring me toilet paper? And they should hold it, he says, in their hat or something like that. Again, this is, you know, if you have the time to wait for that or if it's not too awkward. Hey, yishtamesh b'niyar hamyuad l'chtiva. Okay, shein tzarech litlosh v'likrov l'achtoch lamrot shemoktzehu. Because moktza is something that is explicitly permitted in Shulchan Aruch for using in the bathroom. 6. Yikanech begalil niyar below litlosh ela yigalgalen l'toch hamayim v'alidei horat hamayim yitlosh haniyar. Says what you do is you should wipe with it and leave it in the water, and then when you flush, it'll cut itself, which is possible. 7. Yitlosh haniyar b'shinui. I did see one post like say bismolo, but that seems to me, and I think the reason why the other postman didn't say that is because it's hard to call that a shinoi to tear toilet paper with your left hand. I mean, if someone was sitting where the toilet paper was on the left side to tear with their left hand, it's hard for me to see that. He doesn't bring that. Okay, so he says what you should do is you should wet the toilet paper in between the two perforations, and you're doing it with a shinoi. Some people say that's part of the shinoi. Most say that it's because you don't want to be over on mechatech by mistake, for those who hold that cutting it on the lines is mechatech, right? And he says, and he says, ideally, if you can do it again, just one long thing that you can wipe with a few times, and not to do it again. But again, so that's where he ends up. But anyways, a lot to discuss, a lot to think about. And, you know, I think certainly we're aware of what's mutter now, at the very least, according to the most stringent of poskim. But hopefully we don't have to rely on this too much.